welcome back to another episode with Bree and Liz on Relatable Reality from the depths of hell. No, just kidding. It just feels like it's so fucking hot.
It's so hot. Girl, I still don't have an air conditioner.
I don't know how you're doing it.
I'm just walking around in a tank top. And
like, are you sitting in your pool 24/7?
Yeah, I've been coming home from work some days and getting in the pool. And then, you know, we just have a lot of fans going all the time.
Holy shit, I'm so sorry, dude. That's brutal.
No, it's okay. They're coming Monday. So we'll see. I mean, let's hope we can get it fixed. Let's hope it's just like an easy thing. If not, then we'll continue to have no air conditioning.
Wow.
Just life.
It's just so brutal that it's miserable to like be outside.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah, when I get home from work, my house is like 93 inside.
Oh my God. I don't know how you do it.
By the time we go to bed, it's like 86.
Oh my God. I mean, I am surprised at how cool the nights have been getting, to be honest.
Yeah, it's great.
But it's just terrifying that like you basically can't be outside. It's just like so hot. So everywhere I am, I feel like the air is running constantly. And I'm like, it's only gonna make it hotter. But right now I need the air. Yeah. But like in 20 years, I'm gonna be fucking blistering outside. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
See, it's not because the air doesn't work. It's because I'm helping the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saving the planet one broken air conditioner at a time.
That's right. That's the story I'm going to stick to.
Honestly, I do appreciate that about you because there ain't no way in hell be happening over here as much as I wish it would.
Oh my God.
Anyways, we want to pick up where we left off last week.
Yes. So last week we were talking about how tragic it was about this woman. We didn't know her name last week, but now we know her name. It's Carly Russell, how she had pulled over and she was in Alabama. She pulled over for this little boy or this baby running down the side of the highway in just a diaper. She pulled over, she called 911. And then she was kidnapped. And we were talking about how scary it is, blah, blah, blah. Okay. New things have come out on Miss Carly Russell. And to say I'm unimpressed is the fucking understatement of the year.
You're impressed?
I'm unimpressed.
Oh, well, yeah, it's pretty fucking terrible.
Awful. So basically, because there was no clues as to where this woman went, what happened, blah, blah, blah. The local police got, who was it, the Secret Service or the, got?
The Secret Service.
It was the Secret Service, right?
Yes. So they sent, her phone was left in the car.
Right.
So they recovered the phone and turned it over to Secret Service for help. And they were obviously going through like search history, call history, everything. And her search history and the few days leading up to it and the day of are damn near tattletelling on her.
Right. They're concerning. Like, how much does it cost to start an Amber Alert? How old do you have to be on an Amber Alert? How do you steal from a register without getting caught? One-way tickets to Nashville. She lives close to Birmingham, Alabama. So one-way tickets to Nashville. Bus fare. Like, how much is bus fare? Like, all of these ways, she might as well have Googled how to get away with murder. Like,
yeah. She Googled the movie Taken.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and apparently there were many others that the press conference said, like, that because of her privacy, they won't be disclosing at the time. Okay, I have so many questions. Like, obviously, this is framed. Like, obviously, she's a liar. But I just find it so fucking devastating because this is, an actual issue of, like, women of color disappearing. And to, like, pretend, like, that's what happened to you is not okay. Because now there's a stigma, but now people are going to feel off about it.
I would just like to know what the gain is.
Right.
Like, where are you gaining? There's no financial gain out of this. Like, how are you going to financially gain by kidnapping?
Well, does she just want to be, like, was she throwing a temper tantrum and wanted attention? Did she want to go TikTok famous? Like, what was it?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
Did you hear the part of the press conference where they were talking about like her story? Like the police pulled her in for questioning, like to see what happened, what's going on, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
To try to like catch the people that supposedly kidnapped her, right?
Right.
Okay. So they say that her story was that she got out of the car to help this child and somebody came out of the bushes and took her and the child, put them in a car. And then she doesn't remember until she woke up and she was in the back of a semi. But her head was covered. So I don't know how she knows she was in the back of a semi because her head was covered. I'm not clear.
Right.
She said that there was a man and a woman, but she never saw the woman's face. She just heard the woman.
Okay.
And there was never any sexual anything. They never tried to do anything sexually. And at one point she remembers the female was feeding her, but she never saw the female. And then she escaped from the semi truck, but then they caught her and then they put her in a regular car. And then like a day later, she escaped from the house that they took her to. And she just walked through the woods. And when she came out of the woods on the other side, she just happened to be right around the corner from her house. So she walked home.
I didn't hear any of that. That was
the story of her kidnapping.
That's wild. Like, what were they telling you? Were they saying they were going, like, what were they saying to each other? How long were you in the car?
She made it seem like the way that the press conference made it seem. Now, she may have not talked to the police like this. Like, she hasn't made a public statement. I don't know exactly how she's talking, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The way the press conference made it seem was very, like, just matter of fact and non-emotional.
So odd. There are no words. Cause then her boyfriend, like whenever she returned, her boyfriend said, like made a statement saying, she fought for her life for 2 days and we're just going to give her time to adjust mentally and physically before like, you know, talking. So then my question is like, did her family know? Did her boyfriend know? Because her family was making pleas. You know, and they were making statements.
Right. When she got home, her boyfriend took her to the hospital to like get her checked out and there was nothing wrong with her.
So how is she fighting for her life though? Like,
I guess there was like a tear in her shirt and she had like one small scratch. But like, if you're fighting for your life, wouldn't you have like bruises or more than a small tear? Like a small tear could have been from her walking through the woods.
Right. I don't know. I want more details. I want to know what the fuck's going on. Like, did her boyfriend know or did she walk in and he's like, thank God. And she put on this whole act. What the fuck is the backstory? There's more to this story, you know?
This whole thing smells fishy to me.
It does. I'm saying. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just like that girl we were talking about that gave birth to her baby and then put it in the bottom of a trash can. The mom didn't know. Like, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
The mom knew. The whole school knew. Did you see her in her cheerleading outfit?
Yes.
She was busting out of that thing. Everybody knew.
I know. So sick. People are so fucking sick, dude.
So weird.
Oh, okay. Real quick. I want to say remember how we were saying or talking about the Sounds of Freedom?
Yes.
So I had one of my girls at work went to go see an ad in AMC. And after 30 something minutes of the movie not starting, somebody got up really angry to go tell, you know, the worker, and they come back and the lady's like, tell everyone in here what you just told me. And the worker was like, we forgot to start the movie. The movie will begin in another 30 minutes of trailers. And everyone's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So like, I know someone who firsthand, like weird shit happens. So, yeah.
I feel like these stories are primarily happening at AMC.
AMCs.
Which makes me think that something to do with AMC or like CEO of AMC or something like that is a guilty party.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I have a lot of my coworkers that are going to see it my baristas are going to see it. And they're like, it's brutal. It's brutal. And one of them was like, my boyfriend went and I didn't go with him. I'm going to go with him. But after, like, he was like physically disturbed and like kind of out of it for the rest of the day.
My mom saw it today and she said that it was heartbreaking.
Your mom saw it?
Yeah. My mom and aunt went today and saw it. And she was like, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And she was like, even if all of it isn't true, she's like, even a small percentage of it being true is still devastating.
Right. Right, man. I feel like I would need to see it because of like awareness purposes, but I'm also so terrified to see it.
No, I do want to see it.
Catch me popping 8 anxiety pills after that.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
so.
I'm not going to an AMC.
No, sounds like a waste of your money.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about, there's two things. We didn't talk about something last week, but before I even want to talk about that, we have to talk about how good The Real Housewives of New York reboot is. Wow.
The new New York Housewives have kind of reinstated my faith in Bravo.
Yes. Yes. Clap. Round of applause. Because that's exactly the right way to describe it.
Like, we needed that desperately.
Yes.
Desperately. I was losing hope. The only show that I was looking forward to anymore was Vanderpump. Oh. And now that all the scandal stuff is done, now I'm like, okay, now what?
Yeah, because everything else is such a snooze fest. I can't even watch. Like, even Real Housewives of OC, yes, it's better than it's been. But, like, it feels so staged. Every single episode has Tamara throwing a tantrum. Every single episode has Heather looking like a dumb, out-of-touch idiot. Like, wait. Yeah. I feel like a lot of this is set up now. So, yes, I still watch and I'm entertained. But I'm like, it's not the same. Good. It's not early 2000s Vicky screaming on the phone about a Sprinter van. Good. You know?
No. I don't look forward to watching it.
No. So I am so fucking amped that Roni is so good.
Okay. Roni is incredible. And this new cast, I think, is so fun. They're so fresh. They are so dynamic. Just all of them seem to come from such a different walk of life. And you really do get like this kind of melting pot of people, women,
cultures,
and relationships,
generations.
And yes. Like
different phases of their life.
Like Brynn, who is very young, wild, still like planting her seeds everywhere and like just living life free spirit. Right. And then you go to Jenna, who seems to be one of the older cast members. And she's like, I've lived my life. I've been in fashion. I've run a company. I've sold a company, not just like a little fucking company, like a big ass company.
Well, are you talking about Loft? Jenna Lyons. Yeah. Oh, J. Crew. Yeah.
J. Crew. Like that's
she's epic.
Huge fucking company.
Oh, absolutely.
And she started it and then sold it.
I don't think she sold it. No, what happened is she started there as like, the bottom of the barrel, like bottom. And then she became something executive president or something. She's basically the top. And then she left not that long ago is what happened. Oh, she resigned and like left the space. But yeah, she was head honcho bitch in charge of J. Crew for years.
Massive.
And that's a big deal.
And she just seems so like distinguished and so just like filled with so much class and so much elegance. And she's just so put together and
her vibe, her energy.
Right.
Chef's kiss.
Right. And everybody in between, like, I can already tell who I think is going to drive me absolutely nuts, but I can't wait for their drama.
Yeah, like, I don't even care. I will hate them with love.
Please frustrate me this week.
Yes.
Like, right. I'm obsessed. Absolutely obsessed.
Dude, I was like, as I was watching it, I almost texted you right in like the first 10 minutes. I was like, no, I always do this. I always like am hyped right from the get-go with something new. And then at the end, I was almost laying their speeches like, holy shit, that was impeccable.
So good.
I know. And so then I texted you and I was like, you got to watch this, like, unreal. I love that they're, first of all, age appropriate. Thank you. we do not want to watch these 62-year-old women anymore. And it's not because it's not an ageism thing. It's a, we continue to watch you for 30 years. It feels like we've seen
it's a Ramona, relatability thing.
Yeah. And we've seen Ramona since she was in her 40s. Like, we don't care anymore. I'm sorry. You're done. You've run your course.
Yeah.
So like to see women that are married, aren't married, have children, co-parent, like talk about how the way you survive your kids is figuring out how much you can get away from them. Like, it literally is so fucking relatable, dude, for everybody. Even
like for Brynn that doesn't have kids and she's like, oh, I don't know if this is what I want. What's going on? Like taking pointers from other people. And then Jenna, who was married to somebody and had a child, and then she got to, I don't know if she was married or not. I take that back. I don't know if she was married, but she was with a man, had a child, and now she's
actually she's a lesbian. So I don't know if they like had a surrogate or like whatever. Like, we don't know exactly, but she does have a child.
Yeah.
But I think there's more to that story, I hope that
they dig into it. Like, there's just so many different
walks of life.
So many different walks of life. And I am so obsessed.
I'm so obsessed. And I'm obsessed with everyone. Like, is Brynn obnoxious? Yes, but I'm obsessed with her.
Right.
Is Erin obnoxious? Yes, but yeah. I love watching the way she talks to her husband and, like, you know, the children.
Right. Did you watch the Watch What Happens Live after the episode?
No.
It was good.
Do I need to watch it?
Yeah. So they're all on there. The entire cast is on there. And they're talking about how, like, oh, we're going to dinner tonight. And Andy's like, oh, well, I hope Erin didn't plan the dinner, because the whole first episode was about how Erin planned the dinner
out restaurant,
the wrong spot.
Yeah.
And even Andy was like, that spot is still like kind of popping. Like, a lot of like athletes and stuff like that, they still go to that spot. Like, it's not blacklisted. It's just not like the number one in spot anymore.
So silly.
And so they were like joking about that. And then they played a game where it was like, who causes the most drama? Who does this? Who does that? Mm. And they were all like pointing at each other for who does it. It's just like kind of a fun. There was some snarky comments that Brynn said to Erin. So I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to play out. But no, you should definitely watch it.
Yeah, I just. Sorry, I'm like playing with highlighters. Wow. I want to see what they look like on camera.
You look like the Tin Man over there.
As soon as I started doing it, I was like, wait, what am I doing? I'm so ADD right now. I can't even handle it. Anyways. Yeah. Roni is A+. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Bravo gods, for finally blessing us with a younger, fresher, relatable series. Like, yes. God damn, I understand they're filthy rich and I can't understand that life. But even filthy rich people have real people problems. Unless you've been on reality for so long that you're fucking fake now. That you're Ramona and you pretend and you know how to hide the storylines. You know how to fake. No. Be here, be real, be on the fucking show, or go somewhere else.
I agree. And I have seen a few different Bravo Instagram accounts saying, like, Bravo is looking into revamping every franchise after this. Like, Roni, the new season of Roni was such a success that, and there's so much positive reviews that they are considering doing this with all the branches. And
it would be stupid not to.
They fucking need to. They need to.
Yes. It would be so stupid not to.
Even Orange County, like, I'm tired of these fucking 50, 60-year-old women on Orange County.
Yeah, we don't like Heather. We don't like Shannon. Even Gina. Like, Tamara, love you. Bye.
Like, I need a cast more like Selling Sunset.
Uh-huh.
Or Selling OC. Like, I need a young, fresh cast. Like, I need that girl, Alex, from Selling OC to be a new housewife. Yes.
I 1000% agree with you. They're missing the mark in every way. It's okay to start over. Like, it's okay to have a whole fresh feel, a fresh cast. Like, why do we have to follow the same characters for year after year after year? I don't care. I follow the same social media people I did in 2007. Why the fuck would I want to watch the same people on the show?
Right. Right. Ugh. I think that they should make the current cast members only legacy people and have, like, random girls trip with those with totally. All the Desperate Housewives.
Like they a catch up.
Yes. Girls trip catch ups and new casts for all cities.
Amen. I sign off on that, you know, and hopefully somebody out there hears this can make that happen.
Another thing that they could do more of are spinoffs. And a spinoff that we didn't talk about last week and we fucking should have is the Sonia and Luann spinoff of Crappy Lake.
I had no desire to watch it. I will be perfectly honest. Yeah, but after, like, everyone online was kind of like amping it up. And then after you messaged me and you're like, no, you need to watch this. Like, it's the kind of energy we need. I watched it and I was like, from the minute that they landed that private plane, I was sold.
Yeah.
I was sold. Fucking Luann coming off the private plane. Who do I have to fuck to get a car around? A car with air conditioning around here? Like, oh, yeah. Sonia, I'm just like, oh, wow. Here we go.
I am so upset. Okay. I don't think that we got enough screen time of Sonia when she was on Roni. And I think that now, even more, because she is so unabashedly
herself.
And genuine. She doesn't give a fuck about who she's around, what she's doing. She's like, no, I'm Sonia Morgan. This is how I act. And this is how it's going to be. Like, right. I don't care. And I love it. I think
it's epic.
If any housewife could live in a situation like Crappy Lake, it's Sonia. Sonia could live there forever.
And be happy and be content and make the most of it. Like,
right.
I just love her vibe about everything. It's very much like, oh, yep, got it. Like, she's just like so uppity about everything.
Yeah.
Nothing is whiny. Nothing is cranky. Nothing is woe is me or I'm too good for this. And even Luann, like, I am impressed with Luann. I've never been a fan of Luann ever. But she does work well with Sonia in this situation.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think that I thought Luann was going to be more whiny.
100%. I thought they were going to be Debbie Downer. Oh, darling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's epic, and it's still funny because, like, the minute they rolled up to that hotel they're staying in, I was like, you're lying, dude. There's no way they're staying there for real. But they are supposedly. But, like, all their shit is in there. Like, you can tell they ship stuff from home. They ship organizers. They ship cleaning supplies. Like, it looks like they're actually legitimately living there, and it's wild.
So when the hotel manager came in, or the hotel owner came in to Sonia's room, when he found her vibrator just sitting on the bed.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
She told him, like, if you get a chance, can you please order, like, these bins and this? Like, yeah, I need a couple of things. And so I don't know if they ordered it or if she, like, had them order it and paid for them. Or, like, I don't know how all of that went. But she did purchase things. And even Luann was writing a list of, like, okay, I need bins. I need this. Like, they're really kind of making the best of what they got. Sonia has her shit absolutely everywhere. I don't know how she's going to get all that shit back home, because I don't know how she's going to find it all. It is everywhere.
And I love listening to her think that she can look through it. Like, she's going to find stuff while she's looking through it, you know?
Like, it's all organized chaos, and I just like stuff everywhere so that I can just see everything. I'm like, how do you see anything?
That was a good quote, though. I like my stuff everywhere so I can see everything. Like, bitch, everything is on top of each other. Oh
my God. Sonia has two beds in her room, and she's only sleeping on half of one because the rest of that one and the whole other one is full of shit.
But remember how she was on Real Housewives too, like in that townhouse with her bed with a ton of shit on it?
There's stuff everywhere.
Always. And I was always like, how does she sleep with that massive mess next to her? She's wild. She doesn't.
Then they go to a bar. At the end of the second episode, and they go to a bar, Sonia finds a guy and immediately goes home with it.
Well, she asked him to go home. She tries to make it like he asked her to go home and he was pulling on her arm. No.
She grabbed his arm and said, you're taking me home.
You're driving me home. Yeah. I know.
So funny. So, mm-hmm. so fucking
And then
funny.
She talks about how good the sex was, and she's just so crass, and I'm fine with it, but I forgot or never realized how crass she is.
Yeah, I don't think that they gave her, I mean, she definitely didn't get the same amount of screen time as Luann or Ramona or
Bethany.
Like, she was kind of like the comedic relief here and there, but she didn't really get a ton of screen time. And when they were arguing so much, like, this is a show where they're not arguing, so I feel like Sonia's more involved. The more that they would argue, the more that she would kind of like recluse. There wasn't a lot that she was like right in the middle of all the fights.
No, the only time she became a real main character is when they would go on trips and she get plastered,
right?
But that was really the only time.
But even that was like her and Ramona together, like when Ramona shit the elevator when they went in the caster.
You're right. That was wild. Those women, wild. Yeah. So we're done with them, but I do love Crappy Lake.
Crappy Lake is good. I could do another season of Crappy. I thought like, oh, this is just going to be like the simple life. It's going to be these two bougie ass women in the middle of the country talking shit the entire time. Like, I wasn't really excited for it, like you said. But I think that I could watch another season of Crappy Lake in different spots. Like, if they just went to different small towns around the United States for two, even if they went for like three weeks, I think they were at Crappy Lake for like six, but even if they went,
I think it was 2 months.
Oh, see,
because I remember hearing eight weeks and I was like, 2 months? Wow. Yeah,
so I think that they could make a big difference. They have a lot of resources. And I think the more this show gets out and the more resources they try to utilize, the more that they could do for these small towns that probably don't have the money to do any of this themselves.
I just like, I never would have picked this pair and thought, let's drop them in the middle of this no name town in Illinois. Like, it's so wild, but so good.
So good.
And I think it's the perfect duo. Do not change it. Do not do a Ramona and Jill one. Like, I don't care.
Ramona is not there to help anybody but herself.
True. You know what else would be kind of fun to see a spinoff of is somebody like James Kennedy. And we saw this online. Somebody suggested it. I forget who it was, but James Kennedy and Scott Disick doing something like that in a small town. Like in a bar situation.
Yeah. Or like flipping a house or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. And I think it'd be super funny them too, but I don't think that there's as much of an impact when you're only affecting one place instead of like they're doing the entire town. Like,
you're right. It's so good.
But it's amazing.
While we're on the topic though, of James, we need to talk about Puppygate Part 2. So there was pictures like they're in Lake Tahoe right now on a cast trip, right? And there's all these pictures circulating of like group photos. Well, in one of the photos you can see this dog that looks a lot like Graham on a leash in James's hand, and so everyone's like, wait, is that Graham? Like, what the fuck's going on here, you know? Right. And then James does it like a legitimate post saying, you know, he's back with me and I'm going to take care of him forever. Like, just basically right. saying like, I have him. I'm going to take good care of him. He's not going anywhere type thing, you know?
Right.
So then TMZ drops an article, which we don't know 100% what's true, what's not. But the TMZ article said that they have direct knowledge from an inside source that Raquel or somebody in her family took Graham to a shelter because he was having a biting problem.
A kill shelter.
And what's like so frustrating about this is like it was very apparent how much James, especially on this last season, loved Graham and like wanted to see him and like was connected to him. And then what else is frustrating is like, why not call Vanderpump Dogs? Like, you know, Vanderpump Dogs would have taken that dog in a heartbeat knowing it was Raquel's dog and like what that was.
Do you know why she didn't? I know exactly why she didn't. Because she's so fucking bitter that she didn't want James to have the dog. And she knew that if she took it to Vanderpump Dogs, that Vanderpump would immediately call James and be like, Graham is here.
You're right. It's so shitty.
And so she would have rather had some random person take Graham and not know what happened and not know anything and just not have to deal with any of this situation than to actually grow up and be a fucking adult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's shitty. It's so shitty, but I'm so happy for Graham. I'm so happy for James. Rumor is he's gotten him lessons. He's gotten him into classes and that he's doing really well. Now they're on this cash trip. And I'm just happy for him.
I'm like, too.
James is starting to win and I'm so happy for him.
I know. I am too. I am too. I think part of it too is just his like change in attitude.
And his, well, he's maturing. He's growing.
It's nice to see.
Yeah, because it seems like really good-hearted. While we're on the subject again, I need to stop saying that. We need to talk about all the backlash happening with these fan photos and just overall photos on this Tahoe trip with basically Sandoval being at everything.
Right. I'm not sure why Sandoval was invited on this trip because not all the cast has always been invited on the trips. Like Ariana's not on this trip.
Ariana and Katie are missing.
Right. So not all the cast went on the trip. So I'm not totally sure why Sandoval was included, but it's also a TV show. It's an ensemble show. Like I understand why production would want him there. And
he's probably required by contract. Let's be honest.
Possibly.
I think what's frustrating everyone is like, it's appearing to look chummy with him.
I can see how it appears to be that way. I can also understand like when you're doing your job.
Yeah. It,
like there's certain things like I've been friends with people at work that I fucking hated, but you're I was nice to them at work because that's my job and I have to be. Right. So, and even Sheena had kind of said that, like, we're filming a TV show. This is my job. She's like, you don't know how my, like, I wasn't groping him or like holding on to him or like caressing him while we were in that photo. She's like, my hand was in a fist. I was barely touching him. She was like, it was a fan. We were all walking back to the car. A fan came up and asked for a picture because the entire cast was there. Like,
I get it. I mean, I totally get it. It just, I mean, I don't see a problem with anything because like, well, what else are they supposed to do? Right. Like pretend that he's invisible. Right. Like, but I am curious to see how it plays out on the show. Like, was there a big moment where it was just like, you know what, we're gonna coexist. It is what it is. You're here.
I agree.
And then I also saw online that the reason that Katie and Ariana weren't there is because they were doing a hiring event for something about her with their like co-owner. Okay. So the three of them, those three ladies, were like posting stories about going, you know, to do hiring. So
I also did see that Lala posted, I don't know if it was on Twitter or Threads or something like that, but I did see her post like, I'm so ready to be back in LA for to have calmness again.
Yeah, like so, they're not having a good time.
Right. I get the impression that Tahoe was a little
chaotic.
Yeah.
So they're there for Lisa's, I think, restaurant opening. Or to see the restaurant or something.
To see the restaurant. Yeah, because Sheena had posted stories on her Instagram of them like still breaking down walls and stuff like that. Like they're definitely still in construction, but I think they just went to look at the space.
Makes sense.
Okay, whatever. Like the show is about these kids that worked at a restaurant. So I get it. But again, like why do we have to invite Sandoval?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also rumors that Raquel showed up in Tahoe for filming.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Can we talk about the hat she's been wearing out and about when she's photographed by paparazzi?
Just be a good person.
I literally feel like you were gone for 2 months and nothing changed because you are all about PR still. Like, just be yourself. Just go out, be under glasses, hide out under a hoodie. Like, what are you doing?
She's wearing the hat that says be a good person when she just gave her dog to a kill shelter instead of giving her dog to
A loving owner
that actually really wants the dog, but be a good person. Tom is also wearing a shirt. Sandoval's also wearing a shirt that says like, I'm doing fine or something like that.
Oh, fuck off.
Right.
Fuck off, dude.
The what only people asking prick. Tom how he's doing is TMZ because they want him to say more crazy ass shit.
Yeah, literally.
We don't care how you're doing, Tom. We don't care.
We don't at all. So we also need to talk about this drama with Miranda Lambert.
This is so stupid.
What happened?
So Miranda Lambert is a country music singer, and she was doing a concert the other night, and in the middle of a song, she stopped the band and basically tells the entire audience, like, these girls up here are more worried about their selfie than they are about paying attention. So I need context to this. Like, were these girls they were up towards the front, like in the pit, in the very front of everybody. But I need kind of context. Like, are these girls being obnoxious? Are these girls blocking other people's view? Are these girls, like, what's the story behind this? Like, this wasn't the first song Miranda was singing. You could tell this was, like, well into her set. So I kind of need context behind all of this. I don't genuinely think that these girls took one selfie and Miranda Lambert stopped everything to
do something. Scold them, basically. Right.
Like, I think there had to have been some sort of, like, them being obnoxious or, like, interrupting what was going on for something to be said.
Maybe. I mean, the other accounts of people that were there don't have the same kind of thing. Like, it sounds like she's just being fucking rude, Miranda Lambert. And these girls were taking a photo, like, with Miranda Lambert in the photo. So it was like, I don't know. I just find it so fucking ridiculous. And honestly, if you read about it, like, this is the first time Miranda Lambert has been fucking rude to fans. Like, she's just known to be rude now, like, even to children. And so I'm not surprised. And did you see any of the videos of, like, other people leaving after that happened?
No.
Yeah, other people were, like, videotaping, you know, the song. And then after that happened, this one woman put her video on TikTok, and it's of her being like, no, we're leaving. You don't treat your fans like that. Like, we're leaving. So I don't know if maybe, like, was there more on Miranda's side, too? Was she just kind of being snippy all night? Was she kind of being rude? Like, I'm an avid concert goer. I pay a lot of money for those tickets. You're there to perform. Shut the fuck up and sing. No offense. Shut up and sing. I paid crazy amounts of money to be here. If I want to take a picture of myself the whole time, I'm going to take a picture of myself the whole time.
Yeah, I definitely can kind of see both sides. Like, there is the one side, like you said, like, I paid the money. You already got your money, whether I'm listening or not. Like, I could sit in my car all night and you still got your fucking money. So, like, just do what you're supposed to do. But then I also get the other side is, like, as a performer, if somebody's, like, coming and sitting front row and then not paying attention to one fucking thing, I do think that there is a level of, like, disrespect.
True.
Like, if you're not going to come to the concert and respect what's going on, then why the fuck are you even here?
True.
So I can definitely see both sides, but I think we need more context as to what was going on prior, what the girls were doing. Kind of what I need to set the scene.
Yeah, I feel that. I can feel that.
So the last show that we watched this week was Keeping Up, or not? It's not Keeping Up anymore. We're no longer Keeping Up now.
It's just Kardashians.
This week was Kardashians. I thought it was. I still like this season.
You know, it's about to be over. There's one episode left.
I know, that's wild to me. It's really wild to me that they're only doing 10 episode seasons when. Previously, when it was Keeping Up, when E did it, they were like 18, 25.
I know. Long-ass season. I hate it. I wonder if it's because there's no commercials, though.
So what?
Don't give a fuck. You know what's really funny about this episode is I kept complaining about wanting to see Kylie, and then we get like a really big Kylie set.
Yeah, huge. It was nice. I liked seeing
her. I know. It was so cool. She came over, she did Courtney's makeup. Courtney is just so fucking annoying as fuck.
She's so weird. I did appreciate though that conversation when it was Kylie, Courtney, and Chloe all sitting in the bathroom, and Kylie was doing Courtney's makeup, and they were like, "There's certain things like beauty standards and stuff like that." Now, some of that do they put on themselves? I think yes,
yeah,
like, definitely. But then there was some things where like. I do feel like Kris Jenner kind of played into it. She's always been pretty high profile. Like, her husband was a huge
She likes
worker.
Having status.
Like, right. She likes it, and that's okay. But then you could tell that she put her need for perfection onto her children, and even talking to Chloe about, like, oh, your nose, blah, blah, blah. And Chloe being like, I don't know that I would have got a nose job if mom wouldn't have put in my head, like, your nose is rough. Or really kind of talking about like her ears. Oh, you guys used to make fun of me about my ears and call me dopey all the time. Like, I don't think things like that, you may just see like, oh, this kid's got a big head or this kid has big ears or whatever.
Right. Like,
much about it. But those are things that are obviously sitting with children.
Isn't that sad to think about? Do you have anything like that?
No. I do remember when I was younger, my dad, who, I mean, now that I'm older, I don't take offense to it because now that I'm older, I realize what a piece of shit my dad was. But when I was younger, he used to make fun of me because my bottom lip is so much bigger than my top lip. And so he would say that I looked like a different race because my bottom lip was.
That's so fucked up.
I know. But whatever. Like, now I don't mind. Now I don't care. Like, when I was younger, it would kind of bother me. But honestly, now if I were to do anything with my lips, I would get more put into my top lip.
Right. Nobody would ever think that. That's so ridiculous.
But yeah, other than that.
That's so interesting, though, because it's scary as a parent or like somebody with influence on a young child at all. Like, you just don't know like what your words are going to leave. But I agree with you. I was glad that they had that conversation because it was more relatable.
Yes. Like, this is what we've been asking for years. We just need some fucking relatability.
Yeah. And I will say, though, the other sister conversation was dumb as fuck.
Stupid.
The Courtney, Kim, and Chloe. Like, Kim and Chloe, the way that they just, like, tiptoe around Courtney is wild. Like, they just appeal. Not that they, like, do it on purpose, but you can tell there's stuff they say to each other they would never say to Courtney. You know what I mean? Like, they just feel censored around her.
Well, and at the end of that conversation, I legitimately thought in my head, like, what was the point of this?
The point was that Courtney needed to sit there and have bossiness ownership over Kim, and then she was done and she was ready to go. Like, why do you care what her drive is? As a sister, you should be celebrating her success.
I feel like your drive is other people and your drive isn't for yourself. Okay, well, other people motivate her. I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
It's not your problem. Why do you care? You're happy and you're married, La La Land, right?
So stupid. It is so fucking stupid.
It's just not up to Courtney to determine if Kim wanting to do more ventures and have more businesses is valid or not. It's not your opinion. It's none of your money. It's none of your time. It's none of your energy. You're just a jealous bitch.
Yeah. I did think it was sad when there was the scenes of Kim going through the storage units.
That was wild.
First of all, seeing those storage units and everything she has like in her, she calls it her archive, is fucking insane.
Can you imagine? Like it was, you know, what's the most interesting part to me? That she enjoys going through everything. That she loves being there with all the things.
I'd be like, set it on fire. I don't want to touch any of this.
Literally. But it is, I do think it comes from a very sweet place of like, I want this stuff for my kids if they want it one day.
Right.
Or, you know, holding on to the memories. But right.
That's what I think was so sad is like she was going through her storage unit on the day that her and Kanye's divorce finalized. So that's already like emotional and sentimental. But then she was saying like, I kept these things because these were such good times I had with Kanye. Like now he's not that same person and I can't relate to him in the same way. And so I think I hold on to these belongings, hoping that like one day I could share these with him or our kids and just like think back to all the happy times we had. And I think that was sad.
Oh, absolutely. For anybody, because like, you, with any kind of loss in your life, you feel that. Like you can feel what that's like. Yeah, that was a cool scene. It was definitely a cool scene. And then for her to like have all the graduations merch and like just shit, you wouldn't even think about like, where does that go? Or what happens to leftovers? But like, it's genuinely might just be in a warehouse somewhere.
Or even like all the prototypes of every Yeezy. And then, oh, they sent us this. And then we corrected this. And then they sent us this new one. And then we corrected this. Like they have every single piece.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's just so insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I did think that was sentimental. And I do think that that's another like relatable factor.
What did you think of that conversation with Kim, Kylie, and Kendall when Kylie's like interview portion, she says me and Kim are more like than anybody knows, and then like winks to the camera.
I thought it was interesting.
So what is she alluding to, though? Like, what is your theory? Because I'm like, what could she be alluding to? So obviously something to Travis, but like in what regard? Cheating? Or you know what I mean?
I don't know if it's cheating. I don't know if it's like you thought you were with somebody and they ended up being somebody completely different.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. We don't hear a lot about Travis Scott, so I'm not totally sure. Kanye makes himself known, and so we know how nuts he's become, but I don't know about Travis, but I definitely think it's something to do with their significant others, and I do think that they have like similar parenting styles.
Yeah.
And so that could be part of it. I don't know. I do see them as the most similar. They definitely look the most similar.
Literally. I agree. It was just an interesting comment. Any other thoughts from that episode?
I did actually, even though it seemed like kind of a throwaway piece of the episode at the very end with the People's Choice Awards, I did also think that it was super fucking funny. Now, like, I think we I don't know if we recorded about it or if we just talked about it, talking about how like Chloe's hair looked wild as fuck.
Yeah. Bless her heart.
But now it makes sense. Like somebody ripped out her extension. She's trying to fix it. She gets like, she's running to the front. Like, now I get it. I get why your hair looked like a train wreck, because it was, and you knew it was.
I love it. I love that they added that in there.
Right. And she's literally going to the porta potty afterwards to rip out her extension. Like,
poor thing.
So I did appreciate that factor too, that it's, I just think the whole, like them making more real life scenes and less stage scenes, I appreciate.
I 1000% agree with you. Like, stop trying to put on a show. Just be the show. Just be the entertainment.
Just live. It's okay. Yeah. I thought it was a good episode. I like the season. Hulu's doing it for me.
Hulu. I thought you were asking me a question. Who is doing it for me? I was like, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what this.
I'm not sure who.
Can you elaborate on this question?
I think that's all I got.
Yeah. It was an action-packed week. I cannot wait for more Roni. I cannot wait for more Crappy Lake. I cannot wait to go see the Barbie movie tomorrow night.
I'm so excited, girl.
I need a girl's night so bad.
So excited. I know.
So we'll report back with all of our thoughts of Barbie.
Yeah, we will report back. And I also want to go see that movie Oppenheimer.
Do you?
Yeah, I've heard it's so good. It got like 98 on Rotten Tomatoes, which I know it's not like the end all do all, but
it is so fucking long. Yes, I think it's like over 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
I just can't sit still that long. That's why I'm like, I'm not trying to be a brat by being like, dude, let's go to like a nice theater and like have the reclining chairs, because otherwise my things, like, I just have to move and fidget so much. No, it's 3 hours long. Three hours? That's just so much. Like, I don't need
you need hours. An intermission.
Yeah. 3 hours is longer than a fucking concert, bro. Like, what?
You know what movie was super fucking good, but it was like 3 hours too, was Australia. It had Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman.
Never saw it.
Well, apparently don't, because you want people to sit there and watch the whole thing.
I will go nutty. Like, even I took the kids to see Elemental, and it's only like an hour something. And I still was like, okay.
Like, okay. I went and saw that movie this weekend too, with my niece. I was here. That movie was funny as fuck.
It was A+ movie. It made me cry. The end made me cry.
It made me cry at the end. It made me laugh the entire time. And there was so many things I feel like that were not like for kids. Like, kids never understand. Like, Elemental is the new kids movie, newer kids movie that came out by Disney. And it's like about all the elements and how they live in Element City. So it's water, fire, earth, wind. And air.
Yeah.
Or air, wind, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, when the fire people would walk by the water people started boiling. Kids would never get that.
I know. It's so good. It is so good. And like, I asked the kids on the way home, because I just took the older two. I was like, what's your takeaway from that movie? And they're like, accept everyone for who they are. I was like, love it, but also, you know what I mean? Like, right. We were able to have like a conversation of just because somebody lives differently than you doesn't mean it's scary or wrong or weird. It's just different, and different is okay. And you can love somebody that your family doesn't necessarily love, and that's okay, you know? So yeah, but it was so well done. And Water, what was his name?
I don't remember. What was his name?
He was so sweet.
So sweet. So sweet. I know. It was such so a good. Cute movie. Uh-huh. Such a cute movie. Anyways, yeah. I don't know how we got
movies tomorrow.
Movies tomorrow. We're going. And I'm excited. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Relatable Reality Podcast. Always on Instagram at Relatable Reality Podcast. And then don't forget to download and subscribe at iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast app, and Spotify. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.